This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app. If you're in Vegas, stop by an MGM property. Bring your state-issued ID. You're ready to bet within minutes. Got to be 21 years or older. It's 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. All season long, of course, Michael Lombardi, Patrick Maher. Happy New Year's Eve. All season long, the host of Bet Prep, Matt Eumanns, has joined us. Circa Invitational. So here's one thing I will say. I got a text from Felica as we say hi to Matt Eumanns and Happy New Year's Eve. I got a text from Felica and he said this. He's going to win the 25 grand. If he goes 5-5 over the next 2 weeks, Kazarian from ESPN would have to go 8-2 to beat him. Can you corroborate?
That's correct. So Chris Felica is a math major. He has figured that out. Yeah. So he's essentially got a 2.5 game lead on Doug because of the tiebreaker. And, the Bear is in the driver's seat right now, the clear favorite to win the Circa Friday Football Invitational. Things have been going his way, you know, and he's 12-4 on his best bets. Got to give him credit. He's been seeing the board really well, especially in college football the entire season.
You know, it's really been impressive as hard as it is in pro football, as you know. But in this week, I have kept track of everybody's picks for the whole entire thing. And you know, they all have like Doug's on Georgia, and the Bears stayed away from pretty much all the college games except for Kansas State. You know, and Doug's on over and under totals, which you guys can do in the contest. So it's kind of interesting how they're not even they're staying away from one another on all the bets because there is so many options out there for them, pro and college, and over and under totals.
Yeah, I thought it was odd that Bear sent me his picks, and he's got four NFL plays this week, and only one college game. And the Bear and Kazarian are opposite on the Kansas State-Alabama game as a best bet. The Bears got K-State. Doug's got Alabama as his best bet.
That's a pick. Once somebody's going to pick up, that could be the end of it right there, too.
Yeah, it could be. If K-State covers, that's probably going to it's gonna make it tough for Doug to overcome that deficit. But I thought it was strange that the Bear did not pick more college games, but he sent me a text and said, I hate the college games this week, which I found surprising.
And yeah, I think he locked in Kansas State at 7, and now we've seen that number jump up 7.5. We've seen a couple of 8s floating around there as well with Alabama laying at Matt.
Well, it's 8 right behind me here at Circus Sports, so gotcha. I'm not surprised by that. It's that number was as low as 2.5, and then you had the announcement that Bryce Young and Will Anderson are going to play. It's been steadily climbing. And people tend to bet the favorites on game day, and there was some sharp money on Alabama to drive it up to 7. But if you're betting Bama and laying more than 7 at this point, that's not sharp money.
Yeah, that's probably, you know, you could have gotten in a lot earlier. That's right. Why I was so surprised. It was, as I asked Jick Jack, I mean, I assumed the number was posted because they didn't think Young was going to play, you know, and now that he is playing, and what is his, and obviously, just listening to Nick's commentary, Matt, about how he feels like this has been their best bowl prep, that all the guys that have sucked the energy out of the program this year are no longer in the program. So we'll see if that translates on the field.
Yeah, and this is a well-coached K-State team, too, that's legit. Now, TCU's in the playoff, and when K-State played the Horned Frogs in Fort Worth in the regular season, K-State was up 28-10. His top two quarterbacks went down with injuries, and the third stringer came in and threw a pick on his first pass, and that led to TCU's big comeback. So the quarterbacks are healthy now for K-State. It's Deuce Vaughn's one of the best running backs in the country. I think this is going to be a really competitive game, even with Bryce Young and Will Anderson playing. And, Michael, the last thought on this is there's speculation out there that Young and Anderson might not play four quarters. I think that's nonsense. If you're gonna opt in and say I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna play in this bowl game, you're coming back to play in the bowl game to win. You're coming back to play four quarters. Why would you come back to play two? I don't agree with that.
I don't understand that. Now, if the game's out of hand, right, I get them taking them out, right?
But
like no, and what we were told was NIL money is why they're playing, right? I think this is the motivation. I mean, they've kind of got part of their NIL package is this game too, so. You know, I can't imagine that they're just, we're winning, we're going to take this thing out. So, yeah, I would be very disappointed if the players are moved. Look, I haven't thought, to me, I'd be interested in what you think. I don't think Will Anderson dominated like he did 2 years ago. Like, I thought he was going through the motions this year a little bit. I didn't think he had the kind of year he needed to have.
Well, you're right, and the sack numbers and the tackles for loss numbers reflect that. He was not the dominant force he was before, but I still believe both those guys will be top five picks.
Yeah.
Oh, without a doubt. Are you a Bryce Young guy? Now, I think the true measurement's probably closer to 5'10 and a half, 5'11, smaller than he even looks on TV. Where do you stand on the quarterback?
Well, he's an interesting prospect because he's not much of a runner, really. He is somewhat elusive in the pocket. I think his greatest asset is he's got an incredibly high football IQ, great instincts, and he's an accurate passer. I like him. But I also look at the quarterbacks who are coming out in 2023 and 2024, and he would not be one of my top three rated quarterbacks. I think the 24 class is going to be loaded. But as far as the 23 draft goes, you take Bryce Young. If you're a team like the Texans, you can't go wrong. I think you have to do something like that.
What I worry about, Matt, is he's not a big man.
Right,
and,
small.
You know, we are now on – we're 64 quarterbacks. It's the most since the strike year in 87 that 64 different players will play quarterback in the National Football League this year. I mean, that's a powerful that's a lot of problems there.
Yeah, it's a big number. We got two more this week, right? David Blau just signed 2 weeks ago by the Cardinals, is going to start – for Arizona, he's number 64. That's a record for a non-strike season. So there's definitely a lack of quality quarterbacks in the NFL. But, you know, I do like Bryce Young. I like Michael said, I've said the whole time, he's pretty slightly built, and I wonder about his durability at the NFL level. But as far as this quarterback class goes, I think he's the best.
We were having a little fun with Iowa, Kentucky, just because the total.
No doubt.
If I forced you here, it's Iowa laying 3, Kentucky, of course, no Will Levis. The total was 30.5 at one shop. Now it's 31.5 at most shops. If I forced you on that total, what way would you go?
Under. So these teams played, this is ironic, these teams played in the bowl game last year. And it was a Wild West shootout that Kentucky won 20-17.
Mm.
I think this year it's going to be something like 16-10. I would lean under. I don't have a bet on this game, and I wouldn't recommend anything here. But you asked me, so that would be my answer. I probably would have played Iowa at less than 3, and you could bet under 31.5 right now at Circa.
Let me ask you about a game that I know you do have a bet on. That's Tulane. That's coming up on the 2nd. Remember, no New Year's Day games this year. They don't want to go up against the NFL. Tulane, USC. USC's laying the 2 right now. Fritz has done an amazing job with the program, and Spears is a tremendous running back. I think you are on the green wave here, correct?
I am. I took Tulane plus 2. You got a big-time running back. Like you said, Willie Fritz done a really good job coaching this team. A lot of times these bowl games come down to, it's cliche, motivation. But the green wave is going to be sky high to play in this Cotton Bowl. And USC, it's got to be a little bit depressing to be in this bowl game when you were this close to being in the playoff. And you got beat down 44-7 by Utah after you had an early lead. Plus Caleb Williams, a Heisman winner. He's got a hamstring issue. He says he's going to go. I'm not completely buying that. I wouldn't be surprised if he's out on the field before the game, says I can't go, and he doesn't start. Or he doesn't play 4 quarters. I think Bryce Young's going to be in it to play 4. I'm not sure Caleb Williams is going to finish that game. I do like TCU. That's the team that really wants to be there.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, this is TCU's Super Bowl, and
Tulane,
they're good.
Tulane.
I agree with that. I mean, to me, this is like I don't think USC ever could imagine Tulane is really a good team.
Right,
even though the
right.
tape tells them they're a good team, I think it's hard for those kids. Oh, we're playing Tulane. This isn't going to be that hard. Watch them. Just watch
their offense.
Awesome.
Yeah. Their
it's
offense
unbelievable.
Is so good. Yeah,
Patrick
totally
Maher
agree.
Loves a Tulane offense. Maher,
if I'll take it easy, humans, I'm just trying to help the conversation along.
Awesome.
My goodness, you're killing me every week.
35.2 points per game. That's what Patrick told me.
Thank you very much. Thank you for fact-checking me, Mr. Grumpy. You like laying 2 with Utah, Penn State. We both agree with you. I know that'll frustrate you. I'm on your side here, but I do like Utah as well. What do you got?
Doesn't frustrate me at all. You know what frustrates me is having a half hour sleep no breakfast, and I come in here and I got these spotlights right in my face. It's okay. I'll get over it.
We got to get you some breakfast. You look like Ryan Gosling. I thought it was Ryan Gosling who stepped into the studio.
We got to get you some breakfast, my man.
I know. I'll get breakfast right after the show. I do like Utah. The Utes were in the Rose Bowl last year. Kyle Whittingham wants to win this game badly. Cameron Rising was a quarterback in that game a year ago. Utah had four separate 14-point leads. Rising went down with an injury. Ohio State came back, won the game by three. I think it was 48-45. This Penn State team is not as talented as last year's Ohio State team. And I'll take Rising over Sean Clifford, and I'll take Whittingham over James Franklin. I think Utah is going to be really fired up to play in this game in Pasadena.
I think so, too. I'm excited for it. I think you can't underestimate Utah's toughness either.
Right.
You know, everybody thinks they're a Pac-12 team, but they're tough. I mean, they have Big Ten toughness, if you will. And we'll see if Penn State does. And, you know, I agree with you. Clifford and James Franklin against Whittingham, you know, and the quarterback. I think, to me, I'm going your way.
Well, you said it, and I said that on the show last night, too. This Utah team is kind of built like a Big Ten team. They play smash-mouth football. They're physical, and they beat down USC.
Yep. Okay, here's the job for our producer, Elliot Bauman, during the break. Go find an orange juice and an Egg McMuffin for the big guy sitting at the desk, okay? Let's take care of him and dim the lights a little bit. Jeez, it's New Year's Eve. When we come back, the semis. Right now, you've got Ohio State, Georgia, Georgia laying six, TCU, Michigan. I see a shop at eight. Most shops sitting 7.5. We'll get the take from, of course, Matt Youmans next here at Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
Featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, exciting news. Our betting splits are updated every 10 minutes directly from DraftKings, part of the Pro Tools. When you become a VSiN Pro, it's a whale of a deal. Check it out, VSiN.com/subscribe. Money and bets for every game, today's games, and future events. Get the betting splits when you become a pro. VSiN.com/subscribe. You can hear live reads from Matt Youmans on Bet Prep on Fridays and Saturdays. Of course, he joins us here on the Lombardi Line. I'd pay just to hear the Youmans live reads. By the way, the daily newsletter, which our buddy Bill AD puts out, he does his Best Mitch album every single day and kills it. I noticed that he hunted you down for a preview of Georgia, Ohio State. Can you take us behind the scenes how he contacts you and how annoying it is for you to have to write these every day?
It's not annoying at all. I actually put those write-ups up on the website. Patrick, don't be so grumpy. You know, it's not a big deal.
Happy New Year.
Remember when I asked you if putting together the betting guide was a pain in the you know what, and you shot back. You said, "This is the best time I've ever had." No, you had a great write-up on Georgia and Ohio State. Yesterday, that was sitting 6.5, and just across the board, it went to 6. So that's where we sit right now. Were you surprised by that half point move down?
Yeah, we did separate write-ups on every bowl game, and we posted at vsin.com. I did a bunch of those. So this is an interesting game here, too, because I know sharps on both sides of it. I was waiting for this to move to 7. I thought we were going to get 7 with the Buckeyes. It's at 6.5, and some sharp groups moved, at least one sharp group moved on Ohio State plus 6.5. And then that kind of causes a domino effect where other groups are afraid they're going to miss the 6.5, so they start playing it, and it drops to 6. If you wait till game day, the public might bet this up to 7. You know, it's a cat and mouse type of game. I had to buy Ohio State up from 6.5 to plus 7 at minus 135. I like the Buckeyes here. I have some concerns with them too, but you know, they're playing with house money here. They kind of got a free shot, a second opportunity to be in the playoff. I'm not sure they deserve it after getting blown out in the fourth quarter on their home field. But an underdog seeking redemption like this can be dangerous. They're going to let it fly, cut it loose, all those cliches here. And I don't think they're as bad as they looked in the fourth quarter against Michigan. Gave up a bunch of big plays. I don't think this Georgia team is at the level it was a year ago either. So I do believe the Buckeyes are going to be in this for four quarters. Their offense is going to be able to move the football in Georgia. I know Carl Johnson thought LSU was going to be able to beat Georgia in the SEC championship game. But LSU did rack up about 500 yards passing in that game. Mm-hmm. And that's why how I think the Buckeyes are going to be able to move the ball against Georgia today. So I expect a competitive game. A lot of times we get blowouts in these playoff games. I think this is going to be a really good one. So I took 7 with the Buckeyes.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you take the Buckeyes, you're saying what you basically said there, Matt, is that the Ohio State's going to throw the ball, that the one area of weakness is in this Georgia secondary, and they don't get a lot of pressure on the passer. So they, you know, they don't rank highly in that category, and there is opportunities to throw the ball. But my question is, can Ohio State match up physically to the toughness of what this Georgia offense is, the way they run it, the throw it? I mean, I'm not a Stetson Bennett fan. I would typically be all over Georgia, all over Ohio State here because of the quarterback matchup. But I've actually seen Bennett get better.
Oh, you're right about that, because the perception for a while was he was just a game manager. If you go back to the Alabama game in the national championship a year ago, he started to make some plays. He made some big-time throws in that game, and I think it gave him a lot of confidence. And he's taking more chances and making more plays this year. So, yeah, I think he's improved as well. And if the Ohio State offensive line can give C.J. Stroud some time, Buckeyes are going to be dangerous in this game. By the way, they've been favored in 25 consecutive games going into today. Ohio State.
Patrick, I want to ask Matt one quick thing.
Sure.
Does Ryan Day in a big game worry you?
A little bit worried about Ryan Day, even though I think some of the pressure's off him here. Because, like I said, you're kind of playing with nothing to lose. The thing that concerns me most is the first point you made. I wonder if the Buckeyes are physical enough, if they're tough enough defensively to get the job done. Because I thought they were, you know, a little bit exposed, especially in the Michigan game a year ago. But, Michael, I thought they quit defensively in the fourth quarter against Michigan last month, and that was disturbing.
Yeah, I think that to me is what these games are about. I think these teams are talented. They wear your will out, and you know, I think Michigan can wear out the will because of the depth of TCU. Can they match it? And I think Ohio State, I agree with you. I thought Michigan wore out their will.
Yep.
You mentioned blowouts. Only 3 of the semifinal games. So we've had 16. Only 3 have been decided by single digits. Yep. Over half. 9 have been decided by 20 or more points. I don't know what you attribute that to, Matt.
Well, I think you've had some SEC teams like Alabama in the playoff that are really dominant. And then you get a number 4 seed in there, maybe like Washington or Michigan State and some teams like that that probably don't deserve to be on the same field with Bama. And that's why you get a lot of blowouts, I think, in some of these games. Think about LSU, how good that 2019 LSU team was that blew out Clemson. So, I don't know. It's kind of cyclical, too. And Michael's seen it over the years in the Super Bowl. We had a long stretch of blowouts in the Super Bowl. And then all of a sudden, yeah, we have several years where we have tight, close Super Bowls. So, I don't know. Sometimes you overthink it, it doesn't really make sense, but I think if there's a blowout today, it's probably going to be Michigan over TCU, even though I'm not really predicting that. I don't have a bet on Michigan. I think Max Duggan's the best quarterback that the Michigan defense has faced this season, and it's a Wolverines defense that does bend. It doesn't really break much, but it does bend. Michigan allowed 456 total yards to Purdue in that Big Ten title game. Was outgained by about 80 yards. If you look inside the box score, you say, how did Michigan win that by 21 points? So,
yeah,
you know, I think there's a chance if Max Duggan can play Superman today, the TCU's got a shot.
I mean, but Michigan's got that ability just to wear you down offensively. Right. And then, like, in the Purdue game, you get desperate and you make a mistake, and next thing you know, I mean, but this is what Michigan's weird, right? So the they're in these tight games, and all of a sudden they become blowouts. You know, I mean, they're in a tight game with Indiana and they blew them out. They're
Rutgers.
In a tight game with Rutgers and they blow them out. It's just, to me, they wear you down. They're just more physically dominating play after play. And I think TCU is a great story, but we know TCU is going to struggle to stop the run. I mean, look what Texas did to them.
Well, you know what? That's a good point that you might want to think about. If it's a tight game at the half, you might want to bet Michigan in the second half. Maybe Michigan's physical running game makes the Wolverines a good bet in the second half of that game today. That's something to watch.
Yeah, Michigan doesn't break in the red zone. 20-20, you can move the football. They do a pretty good job tightening up in the red zone. By the way, You talked about Clemson and some of these semifinal teams that have been outclassed. How about Clemson was outclassed by Tennessee last night? Tennessee was a better team.
Yeah, that was, you know, there was a flood of sharp money that showed up on Tennessee yesterday, and Derek Stevens said they took a bunch of money on Tennessee here at Circa, and that was no doubt the right side. Dabo Sweeney's kind of lost his magic touch here. This Clemson team we thought was a little bit phony this season really got exposed in that game. You make the quarterback switch to Cade Klubnik, and it doesn't matter. The Clemson offense ran 100 plays in that game last night, 100, and scored 14 points.
That's impossible.
Yeah,
that's a hard thing to accomplish.
That's hard to do. Yeah.
Klubnik was struggling. He does not look natural in the pocket at all. Of course, we know he's a runner, but they had Milton, and Milton outclassed him, of course, and for Hooker yesterday. Okay, before we say goodbye, so again, you don't have an official play TCU Michigan. Is that fair?
That's fair as of right now. I'll probably in game play it, or I'll make some sort of bet during the game.
And where are you going to watch the games? Are you staying at the Circa? Are you staying at Circa to watch them?
Staying at Circa all weekend. We'll be out here in Derek Stevens' box. You know, he's a Michigan guy, so I probably don't want to bet on TCU and sit next to him during the game.
Yeah. Are you prepared for New Year's Eve with Derek Stevens?
Well,
like, are you going to have some Gatorade or what? Like, how do you prepare for that tonight?
Well, I'm going to be doing a 3-hour NFL preview show from 6 to 9 here at Circa tonight. And then after that, the drinks start. So,
yeah.
That's the game plan for tonight.
Good for that you. That is dangerous and good for you. And sincerely, thanks for joining us all season. Of course, bet prep coming up tonight, and then it's on. Like, where will you guys go for, like, when you ring in the new year tonight at Circa? Where will you be?
I don't know. Actually, there's a lot of different. Yeah, there's a lot of. Okay. I don't know if it's going to be Mega Bar or if it's going to be on the roof. Who knows? Derek Stevens could be the Legacy Club up top. Derek's always got things planned out. Hey, we didn't get a chance to talk about the NFL card, but I think it's a really interesting card this week. And how about what happened with the Raiders? The Derek Carr era is history. And I did play the Raiders plus 10 in a contest this week. I thought that line move is a little bit of an overreaction. And I actually think that Josh McDaniels is going to call a good game for Jarrett Stidham on Sunday. He's got a lot of weapons around him, and the San Francisco 49ers don't have a lot to play for in that game. I think that's an interesting game.
Again, you're more than welcome to stick around. If you want to hang out with us for another segment, would you like to or no?
Do you have a guest next?
Thomas Gable, yes.
All right, leave it to Thomas. I'll go eat breakfast.
He just blew us off. Happy New Year's, Matt Ubitz.
Happy New Year,
coming
Matt,
back with Gable you. Next.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, BetMGM is offering college football fans a chance to make the semifinals more exciting than ever. Just log into your BetMGM account today, place a $25 semifinal parlay consisting of all spread bets, and you'll receive a $10 free bet just for placing the bet. New to betting at BetMGM? Well, it's easy. Just download the app and sign up now to jump in on the action with this special offer. Find out why college football fans choose the King of Sportsbooks. Again, it's going to be exciting. Place a $25 semifinal parlay consisting of all the spread bets, and you'll receive a $10 free bet. Check it out. Reward issued as a non-withdrawable free bet. 21 years or older, 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available. Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. As we welcome you back here, Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Happy New Year's Eve. I'm Patrick Maher. We just had Matt Eumanns on. We're going to be joined by our partner, Thomas Gable, who runs the race and sports book there at the Borgata. I can tell you that officially, how many did you send me? You just sent me another add-on. So I think you sent five total plays in college basketball today for VSiN Pros. Is that the answer?
That might have been
Thomas
six
Gable?
With Bryant there. Bryant might have been
okay.
Six.
Wow!
So,
but you like the board today, then, huh?
It's a lot, big board on college basketball today.
Big board on college basketball today, huh? Wow!
Okay, officially six plays from Thomas Gable college basketball for VSiN Pros. Remember, you get all those plays when you sign up VSiN.com/subscribe. That's awesome. In other news, the Lombardis and Bermans brought the new year in last night. Some breaking news: Earth, Wind, and Fire was on the docket. Michael Lombardi there at the Borgata last night. Tell us.
Went over there. I had my man Thomas Gable. We met him for a cocktail over there. Earth, Wind, and Fire at the Hard Rock Casino. It was good. It was a nice night. We got war. You know, it's from last week's bitter, bitter cold. I mean, how cold was it, right?
Very comparable.
So now we've got 50-degree days. I mean, it's like it's crazy. The dramatic change. It's just so dramatically different, so which is not going to impact. The rain might impact a little bit. We're getting a bunch of rain today, but I don't think the weather's going to impact the NFL this weekend at all.
I didn't attend the show last night with you guys, but did Berman get up on stage?
Yeah, no, he was not up on the stage, although the bass guitar player in Earth, Wind & Fire, one of the original members, had a pair of red pants that I think we got to get Berman to wear. Yeah, there's no doubt.
Oh, that's a lock. We got to get those. Speaking of drama, how about tell us what happened there in the state of Jersey with Purdue and LSU yesterday, Thomas Gable. Very interesting.
Right. So, obviously, Purdue and LSU are facing off Monday in the Citrus Bowl, and yesterday, we were notified by the regulators in the state of New Jersey that we had to take that game off the board, cease taking wagers on it, and we actually have to refund wagers. For any wagers made on that game from December 15th or later will have to be refunded. We've already done that. If you made the bet before December 15th on that game, it could still stand per the Division of Game Enforcement in New Jersey. This is a decision that they came about with, I would say, it probably has to do with a certain former New Orleans Saints quarterback who now is on the Purdue sideline for this game, and the fact that he probably still has an equity stake in a certain sports book in the state, which is what led the regulators to make that decision. So if you already bet that game in the state of New Jersey, check with your sports book, but refund will have to be issued per the regulator if you bet it after December 15th, and you can't bet it now anyways, moving forward.
And if you made it part of a teaser option.
If you bet it part of a parlay or a teaser or anything like that, obviously that leg will just drop off the parlay. So.
Okay. Good to know.
And you mentioned it was a certain player, Michael Lombardi. I think we can say it's Drew Brees' involvement with a certain entity. Is that fair, Thomas?
Yeah, I mean, they did not name the person. The DG did not name the person, but that's certainly when you're reading between the lines and the dates that they gave, you could come to that conclusion.
It's only effective. Only New Jersey felt that way. The other
Right now, it's only, as far as I know, New Jersey's only state that the regulators are the only ones that took that action. Now, could that go to another state? Possibly, because you know, I think regulators at every state will probably take a look at what that decision was and say, well, are we going to do the same thing here? But as of right now, I think the only state affected is New Jersey. So, again, if you're here in this state, you're not going to be able to bet the Citrus Bowl for Monday.
Wow. Michael, Georgia just went to 5.5. Okay, so this is, you know, in our little world, this is big news because we just dropped below that key number of 6 down to 5.5. So to start us there, Ohio State, Georgia. Yesterday it was 6.5. We've dipped all the way down to 5.5 here, Thomas Gable.
Right. So what we saw yesterday really was there was a couple respected players and that jumped on the 6.5 there with Ohio State. Lowered the number to 6. Even I know there's some respected players who grabbed money line. I have a +210 on Ohio State, and I think, you know, a couple things there. Some people probably saw some books move there and jumped, and so created a little bit of steam there on Ohio State. And now again, you're seeing probably some respected money come in there on Ohio State +6. So lowers the number once again. This is a game here that I was saying to you this morning. I don't necessarily foresee this game, the number really even mattering too much in this, because if Ohio State's going to be competitive in this, I think they have a chance to win it outright. So you grab the money line, and or Georgia's going to blow them out.
So talk about what we were talking about with a couple of the guys here that do this for a living, that there's a way to make money
if you believe
the premise is true. Yeah. What should a bettor do?
Well, if you could have grabbed, you know, +210 or better on Ohio State money line, and then you can come back and bet Georgia on the spread. So right there, but you know, that's what they were talking about this morning.
Yeah, so that's a way to guarantee yourself a profit.
Aren't you, Michael, aren't you surprised here? I mean, it's Georgia, defending champs. They haven't shown a weakness, to be fair. Ohio State a month ago got blown out by Michigan at home, yet we've seen it dip to 5.5. Again, if you do like 6, BetMGM, DraftKings, you can find a 6. But if you want to lay Ohio State, you can find a 5.5. But aren't you a little surprised, Michael?
I think it's the matchup, right? I mean, Ohio State can throw the football. Georgia does have a propensity to give up passing, although, you know, Tennessee would deny that that happened. I mean, Tennessee couldn't throw the ball that effectively on them. And Missouri kind of made some plays, but even when you were watching the Missouri game, Missouri was never going to win that game, even though they had a lead. I don't think Georgia played their best. And so, to me, I think this is a little bit like, are you saying Kirby's not going to have a plan for the Ohio State offense? I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Thomas, do you?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head with Ohio State. It's, you know, they're going to have to throw the ball, and that's where Georgia has been susceptible in the past. But again, when you looked at Ohio State and what they did, a lot of people pointed at Michigan game because that's Michigan was a tough physical team, and Ohio State really didn't see anyone play with that physicality up until that point when they and we saw what happened in there, and Georgia obviously can match that physicality. So
that's the point. That is the point. Yep. Michigan and Georgia, probably the two most physical teams in the country. Like Michael says, like Michigan, Georgia's right there. I think the second half, Georgia wears them down. Interested to see that number going. Sorry to interrupt you. I only have 2.5 minutes, so I want to get to TCU Michigan with you. I'm seeing mostly 7.5 with Michigan. How about at the Borgata?
Yeah, 7.5 total, 57.5, and mostly Michigan money here. I will say this real quick on the totals. If you're looking to play a total in this, don't look at the trends of what you've seen so far in bowl season. I know it's tempting when you see all of these unders that have come in at a nice rate throughout the bowl games that have already been played, but this is a totally different handicap with these two games. You have to remember, with a lot of these other bowl games, you had a lot of kids opting out, draft prospects, enter the transfer portal, coaching changes. So you had a lot of teams that were playing second and third string guys that weren't ever taking first team reps during the season. So what that turned into was almost an exhibition game for a lot of these programs. And what do you see in exhibition and preseason games? You see unders come in.
Right.
These two games here for the playoffs today, they're not that. So don't look at that trend of the unders and say, okay, well, you know, the unders have been hitting. Handicap these games separately.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great point. I think that this is the matchup that, you know, we think that we know these are two situations we know we can control. The other games, we have no idea about the level of Cam Riesling going to play? You know, is Caleb Jackson, are these guys going to play? Caleb Williams? I mean, we don't know. This game, we know.
You know, it's interesting, like, for example, TCU, Quentin Johnson, their wide receiver, if he was on Michigan, he'd be their best player on offense. So it's not like TCU doesn't have talent, Michael. You know what I'm saying? It's not this almost David Goliath situation. TCU's very talented. They've been tested all year. 7.5 is a big number. But again, Michigan coming off that, 45-23 beatdown at Ohio State, really rolling right now, especially
TCU's
with that run game.
TCU's a little bit like the Minnesota Vikings. They've won a lot of close games. And, you know, that's contagious. You just don't know when that level of comp increases. Can that happen?
8-1 in games decided by 10 points or less, TCU, to Michael's point. Thomas, a very happy new year. Thank you for all you do for us here
on
the Lombardi Line now for years. We appreciate you.
Yes, happy new year, guys.
Thank you very much. The Borgata, of course, he runs the Race and Sportsbook. Again, just to reiterate, he's got 6 college basketball plays today. The only way to get those plays is become a pro. It's vsin.com/subscribe.
Featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, Brent Musburger, and happy new year to you and your family. Get $10 free when you sign up right now for First Bet, VSiN's preferred horse racing app. Use the code HORSE200 for $10 free instantly. Plus, you get 100% match deposit on up to $200 over at First Bet. With wagering at over 300 tracks, AI-assisted picks, it's all there. For more details, go to VSiN.com/horses to sign up now. That's VSiN.com/horses. Speaking of family, our family, JVT and Danny, are coming up next. It looks like JVT, so we should bet this as a family and as a network. He's going Iowa, Kentucky over the 31.5. Michael, you're laughing because we were talking during the break. I agree with Jonathan Von Tobel. I can't get down on an under 31.5 when there's so much variance and volatility with turnovers and who's in, who's out. That's a low total to be pulling for there, 31.5.
Yeah, and I mean, like, look, I know that Kirk Ferentz and the Iowa program's conservative, so is Mark Stoops in Kentucky, but it's a bowl game. I can't imagine they're not going to try to let it cut it loose a little bit and have a little bit of fun and do that, you know? I think, to me, that's unbelievable.
That's a sweat. That's a sweat I don't want to be involved in, 31.5. Pulling for the under. Okay, outside of that today, Kansas State, Alabama. I'll start there with you. You've been kind of shocked as far as Bryce Young and Will Anderson. What Matt Heumann said to me, I totally agree with him. Doesn't make a ton of sense. If you're going to play the game, you're going to play the whole game. You're risking injury because right. He heard reports that those two weren't going to play the full game. You've got Bama laying 7.5 and a big total here, 57.5.
You know, I know everybody I just think to me, when I read what Nick said today about where he feels, and obviously he's going to do some things to the program, but I think as Bryce Young's last game, I think they're going to go out as a winner, and I think they'll cover. I would take Alabama and lay the points. I really do. I would be surprised. I think Jick Jack said it well. You give Nick Saban a month to get ready to play you. I think he'll be ready to go. I think his defense will be ready to go. But I do think that, you know, I think their offense will be ready to go. And I think if you watch some of the Texas game, you can run the ball on this TCU team. Excuse me, this Kansas State team's good. Now, they've got to play really well in the kicking game. I think that's going to be key for Alabama. But I would lay the points and take Alabama.
Kansas State, this is a national championship for them, playing not just an SEC team, but playing Bama. So a huge stage for Kansas State, opportunity for recruiting. Speaking of recruiting, you mentioned Nick Saban feels like he weeded out those guys and maybe some of the bad apples through the transfer portal that didn't want to be there. Is motivation high for Bama? Well, the number one draft pick and Bryce Young is going to be playing, and Will Anderson a top five pick. So that tells you what it means to the program.
And I think he's gotten rid of the distractions. So who's ever playing in this game is going to be on the team next year. And I think they have to play good, right? Like all the guys that were causing that weren't going to be on the team next year, they're gone. So there's no infighting. So like either you play well or you're not going to be on. Like that when he got killed by Oklahoma in that game in the Sugar Bowl when they weren't in the championship, there was no transfer portal then. So nobody could leave. So there was a lot of discontent that, hey, this is not a game that's big enough. To me, those guys are gone now. So everybody here, you're either putting your foot on the gas because we're going to have spring ball and you're going to play. This game's going to determine who plays next year. So I think there is motivation for Alabama, even though everybody makes it easy to say there's not.
The flexibility of the portal certainly has changed the landscape, Michael Lombardi, of college football. That's a conversation for another day. Ohio State, Georgia, you take a look at your board. We're getting 5.5s everywhere. I, for one, am surprised by this. Georgia's 5.5 here. It's going to be played, of course, in Atlanta. What do you have, Ohio State, Georgia?
I mean, the one thing I've learned about college football this year is wherever there's been steam, it hasn't really worked out very well. And there's a ton of steam on Ohio State. I mean, I am... maybe too conservative because I think Georgia's good. I think there's some vulnerability here. I really do. But when the number was 7 and I wasn't in love with it, why would I take the 5? I'll take the Georgia and lay the points. Again, I think Kirby Smart against Ryan Day, I think it's going to be a really fun game to watch and make notes of to see how they adjust it. I don't really know if Day can adjust it enough to be able to win the game.
I'm with you. I'll fade Matt Heumann's with you as well. I'll lay the 5.5. I'll get a good price with Georgia close to game time here. By the way, Felica's play of the day, we mentioned him earlier. He is on Kansas State today, just for bettors. Wanted to get that out to you. TCU,
what
Michigan.
What was his number at Kansas State? I think it's 6.5.
He actually had him at 7.
It was 7.
He had him at 7.
That's right.
So he can catch a hook now at 7.5. Feels better about his bet. So for bettors, Felica, ESPN, Fox Sports, he's all over Kansas State today with his best bet. TCU, Michigan. It's 7.5, Michael. Michigan's laying it.
I like Michigan. I think Michigan, I know they're vulnerable in the secondary. I think the over is going to be a little bit in play here. I do. I don't think it's going to be a back and forth. But I think by the end of the game, by the fourth quarter, I think Michigan will prevail.
Totally agree on the over. Love the over 57 if you can find it. Mostly 57 and a halfs out there, but I do see Circa is sitting 57. I think there's going to be some fireworks in that one over in Phoenix. Okay, so that is the college bowl season. As again, remember, no games tomorrow because we've got pro football. One thing I will say on the second, which is coming up in a couple of days, of course, tomorrow's New Year's. You and I both like Utah. So let's get that out there before we transition and previews tomorrow's show. Like Utah laying the point and a half against Penn State, correct?
Yeah, I do, and I really do. I like Utah in that game, and I think, and there's some, there's two, there's one and a halfs out there. You shop around, there's still two and a halfs. So, you know, I think to me, I like it. I like it. You know, if you can get this thing at one and a half, I like it on the money line as well.
Okay, so before we take a break and say goodbye for the last time in 2021 here on the Lombardi Line. So, excuse me, did I just say 2021? How this is 2022. We say goodbye into 2023 tomorrow. We'll be here with you tomorrow morning for an NFL version of the Lombardi Line. And just wanted to get some news and notes to preview that. One, David Blau, who was on that Minnesota Vikings practice squad a couple of weeks ago, is in. McSorley's going to be the backup here. That is in Atlanta. Atlanta's up to 5.5 with David Blau starting for the Cardinals here.
And that touched six right away. You know, right before I got ready to do Russo yesterday, the news broke that Colt McCoy was out with he was experienced more concussion symptoms, so they took him out. And this line jumped immediately up to six. It got bought back to 5.5. Look, I like, you know, a lot of people are on Arizona in this one, and for good reason. Colt McCoy, I mean, they took, with Trace McSorley, they took Tampa Bay, which people think are just going to walk all over Carolina tomorrow. They took Tampa Bay in overtime. So, you know, this isn't like they laid down, you know. And so without Colt McCoy, though, and David Blau, I think it becomes problematic. Although this Atlanta defense is not very good. Playing at home, I think to me, that's why you'll see this line shift. It was interesting how quickly it went to six.
Just getting some previews in, and then we'll go in depth. Of course, we'll have the Lombardi numbers as well tomorrow, juxtaposed with the market. I don't think Hurts is playing. He's still TBD as far as the boards is considered. We've got 5.5 Philly laying it with New Orleans coming. That tells me Hurts isn't going to play as that number continues to dip here.
Is it 5.5 now?
Yeah, 5.5.
Because it was 6.5 yesterday.
Correct.
At 5 o'clock when I did Russo, and now it's back down to
5.5.
A lot of people are on New Orleans. This is, New Orleans is a sharp play. Just keep aware of that. New Orleans is a very sharp play. People feel like New Orleans defensively will match up to against Gardner Minshew, and they can run the ball without Lane Johnson. I think we're so focused on Jalen Hurts missing the game. But Lane Johnson at right tackle, him not being in there, when he went out in the second half of the Washington game, the Eagle offense kind of stalled a little bit there. Now, they've had some time to prepare for this, but not like they did in that game. But I think that's a significant injury there. And that's a sharp, sharp play. I think that's the games that when you look at the board, there's a lot of – the sharp plays are, to me, where you're seeing this movement on certain teams, and it's reflective in the line, and I think that's one of them.
Well, you nailed it. It was 6.5 when there were still some decisions to be made as far as Hurts or the backup in Minshew, and now it's down to 5.5. It tells you it's pointing to Minshew. Another quarterback decision has been made. Tyler Huntley is in for Baltimore. Was sitting 2.5 yesterday. Not much of an adjustment. A couple of shops showing 2. Baltimore laying it with Pittsburgh and Kenny Pickett in town.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know when we're going to see. To me, the bigger question here is, when are we going to see Lamar? He hasn't practiced. He hasn't practiced at all. I mean, it isn't like, you know, we know that we saw Jalen Hurts on the practice field, right? You know, we haven't seen Lamar Jackson. You know, and we know that if they don't win, they're the fifth seed. They're going to go play the AFC South winner, whomever that is. You know, do they get a rematch with Jacksonville, who they got lost to down there, or do they have to go to Tennessee? I mean, that's going to be the interesting factor there. But they need Lamar if they're going to get anything done, right?
Plenty, of course, and plenty more. They're going to be playing for the division next week in Cincinnati. Plenty more on the NFL tomorrow here on the Lombardi Line. Just want to quickly, Michael, it's a pleasure, partner, working with you. I know you and Millie have the surf and turf tonight, so stay safe and enjoy it. And it really is a pleasure. Happy New Year to you, buddy.
Happy New Year, too. Enjoy that California sun, Patrick. We'll be all right in the rain here. Don't worry about us.
It is
Thank
actually
you,
raining.
Happy New Year to my man, Justin, here. Takes care of me right here.
Justin.
Gets me water. You know, I don't get much more than water, but he gets that water for me. I appreciate him.
And I want to say Happy New Year to Jeremy, John, Jeff, Andre, and of course, Elliot back at Circa. Happy New Year, and thank you for all you do for us here on the Lombardi Line. JVT is on that over early today, and Danny coming up next. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.